How many of you are actually traveling somewhere tomorrow to go see the solar eclipse? Okay, how many of you are embarrassed to raise your hand because, okay. I was on 96 yesterday, and there was one of those electronic signs of, you know, be ready for heavy traffic. And I was like, seriously? That many people are going to be traveling to see, you know, the total eclipse that will last like 2 minutes, right? And even my family members are kind of going bonkers. My brother Al, he is pulling his kids out of school to go to Atchison to check it out. Of course, they're homeschooled. My dad and mom are going with my brother Al and his family. My dad's only left Marion County twice in his life. So, well, actually 5 times. So it's like, wow, this is going to be, you know, a big deal. What's interesting, and it's like, it is a big deal. It is interesting. It is a marvel. Well, none of us are going to be around, what, it's going to be another 300 years or whatever before the next one, before it, we're able to have it at this intensity. But it's kind of interesting that there's such a fascination that with a moment where light is being blocked out and we're in the presence of darkness, kind of a fascination that the light is being blocked out. So I'm taking that aspect of it and applying it to the moral and the spiritual life, because within our soul, in our fallen human nature, there's a fascination with darkness, that the things of darkness are at times more interesting than the things of light, and that we have to be really on guard, because those of us who are in the boat, that are a part of the Catholic faith, we're sometimes the most prone to be connected to that darkness. So who's the woman that has Jesus recognizes as having great faith? She's not a member of the chosen people. She's what the Israelites referred to as, with the Gentiles, as dogs, right? And here she has great faith, persistent faith. This weekend, we're talking about beginning to introduce the stewardship renewal. And I want to highlight something in regards to stewardship and the tendency to look and move it kind of in a dark place. When stewardship started some 30 years ago here in our diocese, there was great energy. There was great light around it. There was excitement and embracing it. There was faith. But what happens over time when you have something that's wonderful, that's a gift? You get used to it, right? And then you begin taking it for granted. You're entitled to it. I'm thinking sometimes if you have your own business or you're managing people, you give them a vacation day, an extra vacation day, or you give them a bonus. They're all excited about it the first year. Then the next year, you don't give it to them. Oh, man, right? Because there's this sense of entitlement that comes in. It's part of our fallen human nature. Ingratitude, you might say. So what has to happen? In regards to the stewardship way of life, there is a movement to take it for granted, to go to a dark place and to be fascinated with the darkness and to miss the beauty and the greatness of the light. And so this is the reason for a stewardship renewal every year, is to re-energize us, to reignite us, to bring back and start that fervor again for this dynamic, exciting way of life. And, well, how do people get motivated? You know, 50 or 60 years ago, there might be a hell and brimstone homily, right? You know, if you don't start giving, you're going to go to hell. Okay? And many homilies, and that worked to some degree, but that's not working right now. Well, how do we become stirred and moved in regards to embracing this stewardship way of life? Because on a number of occasions already, I've said that if we don't change something in regards to living the stewardship way of life, all of the benefits and fruits of the stewardship way of life, like mainly our Catholic schools, my bet is that it's over in 10 years. If there's not a revitalization, because what's being seen is just a diminishment of energy, a taking for granted, a sense of entitlement. And I'm not like, you know, trying to be negative here. I'm trying to say this, that this is the reality of fallen human nature unless we're aware of our tendency to do this. And so, well, where do we begin? Well, that one of the reasons that the diocese has a renewal each year is so to awaken us. Hey, look what you have here. This is amazing. Recommit. This year, you'll find in your pews, there is a prayer card, and it corresponds to the image and the theme for this year, which is, who are you following? And I think this is appropriate for our day and age right now, because what this gets to, this question of who you are following, it gets to the question of one word in the stewardship definition. Stewardship is a grateful response of a Christian disciple. A disciple is a follower of Jesus. And so what happens is that we begin by following Jesus. There's great energy. We're able to do great things. Just like Peter was last week when he walked on water. He was a disciple of Jesus. He had his eyes on Jesus. He was walking on water, right? But then we begin to turn away and we follow others. You know the number one person that we follow? I was asking the kids this at school the other day. So many of them said the devil. So I was like, well, no. I said, I think most of the time we're following ourselves. Most of the time we're following ourselves. Every time you go into the confessional, every single sin at its base, at its root, is a following of oneself. I don't care what sin you have. So think about that. Who are you following? What we're talking about is the core reference point for our choices in life. Are we following ourselves or are we following the Lord? You have to make a choice. And so, how do we revitalize this? Well, we can't just talk about time, talent, and treasure. The problem with too much emphasis on time, talent, and treasure is like, okay, yeah, those are the things that I do, and those are important. Those are essential to the stewardship way of life. But if I just focus on those things, what happens is like, okay, I've checked my boxes, right? I paid my dues. It's like my taxes. I can move on. And it begins to depersonalize, separate us from that close intimacy with the Lord that stewardship is based upon. It's based upon discipleship. If you're not a disciple, you're not living stewardship. You're paying your dues. You with me? So how do we get connected with this discipleship sense? Well, first of all, recognizing that the Lord is calling us all. And that the Lord gives every single one of us gifts for the building up of the kingdom of God. That's what St. Paul says. Everyone has been given gifts. You notice in that second reading, St. Paul speaking to the Romans, he said that the gifts and the call of God are irrevocable. So the call of God has to do with all of the graces we receive for the salvation of our soul. The gifts that St. Paul's talking about are given to each individual. They're different for each individual for helping others, building up people, serving others for the kingdom of God. The Greek word used there for gifts in Romans, the gifts and the salvation are irrevocable, right? The call is irrevocable. The word gift is charismata, which we get the word charism or charismatic. Now, charismatic, that word has a lot of baggage with it, all right? But we need to redeem it to some degree because the gifts that we're talking about, that God has given, we talk about charisms. Charisms are given to all of the baptized. All of the baptized for some purpose and some time and place for some group of people to build them up. And so let me give you an example. In the gospel, we have the Samaritan woman who we clearly know she is a foreigner. She has no association. She has no entitlement. no right at all to be in the presence of Jesus. And the apostles are pushing her away, right? And so what do we see in her? We don't just see in her faith. We see extraordinary faith. Extraordinary faith. In fact, this week, since last Sunday, I've been reading back and forth last week's gospel and this week's gospel. Last week's gospel was Peter walking on the water and then him taking his eyes off Jesus and beginning to drown and Jesus saying, "Such little faith." And this woman, who there's no expectation, "Such great faith." And seeing myself as like, I've been, you know, close to Jesus. I'm part of the church. I'm a priest. And so probably my tendency is going to be Jesus looking on me and having little faith, saying, "There's little faith." And then this woman challenging me, her extraordinary faith, it's really stretched me and invited me to ask some questions about my own faith. You see, her extraordinary faith is a charism that's been inspiring people for the last 2,000 years. Are you with me? So all of us have been given extraordinary graces. St. Thomas Aquinas calls these gratuitous graces. They're given for the benefit of the community. And so here's where we the movement has to go for this discipleship. It has to start leading towards becoming aware and recognizing the special gifts that we've been given for the building up of the kingdom. Do you see what I'm saying? If this doesn't happen and these gifts are building up for the building up of God's kingdom and the stewardship way of life, which is to establish this Christ kingdom on earth, then what's going to happen? If they're not aware, you're not aware, you're not embracing them, there's no building up of the kingdom. That's why if it's not doesn't happen, it's either going to be stewardship's going to go to the next level and become something amazing and incredible, or it's going to die. That's my prediction. I like making predictions. So that's why it's going to be cool, I think, around the first of the beginning of the year, we're going to be rolling out some great opportunities to discern and become aware of our individual gifts. This is foreign territory for Catholics, cradle Catholics. I know that. But here's the thing. The Lord is always stretching us. He's always asking us to step out of the boat. Get out of your comfort zone. That's what it's about. That's what this year, this stewardship renewal this year is about. Stepping out of the boat. Who are you following? Because, yeah, in the beginning it's wonderful, it's amazing, but then we go into the self-protection mode, right? And then we become pusillanimous, which means our soul begins to shrink and narrow. We don't become high-minded. We lose that magnanimous spirit, generous, gracious. But here's the thing. Although there'll be darkness tomorrow, right? We can see that the movement is towards shrinking in our own spiritual life and maybe the way some of the ways that the stewardship way of life is going. The sun is, what, 400 times larger than the moon. Isn't that right? Something like that? Somebody was telling me that. So I saw it on Google. Okay. So it's there for our taking, but it's not guaranteed because stewardship, my friends, is a response. If you take those cards right now, there's a card for everyone. You could take that home. There's a prayer on the back. That's a stewardship prayer for this year. And it is cool because it is a prayer for my parish family. Someone was telling me after Mass, you could exchange and replace the word parish and say prayer for my family. And I said, exactly, because the parish is a family. So we'll begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Together, Almighty God, my parish is composed of people like me. I help make it what it is. It will be friendly if I am. It will be holy if I am. Its pews will be filled if I help fill them. It will do great work if I work. It will be prayerful if I pray. It will make generous gifts to many if I am a generous giver. It will bring other people into its worship if I invite and bring them. It will be a parish family of loyalty and love, of fearlessness and faith, of compassion, charity, and mercy, if I, who make it what it is, am filled with these same qualities. Therefore, with the help of God, I will dedicate myself to the task of being all the things that I want my parish to be. Bless my journey, Lord God, that I might follow Jesus and build the church for your glory. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.